Amen. Well, good morning. Resurrection power. Can you say amen? When thinking about that song, you know, it's not just a song, is it? It's a worship love letter. It's a worship thank you God for loving me letter. It's in my heart. I see myself then, now, and in the future. Amen. The resurrection power. That's what this whole Easter season is all about. It's about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's about us accepting the fact, and we're going to talk about facts in just a minute, but it's about us accepting the fact that God loves us so much, still does, that He sent His only Son to die on that cross, to suffer what He did through that whole Easter story, and die for us, for you, for your sins, to set you free so that you can have victory in Jesus. Sin no longer has this bound on you. This sin is no longer going to cause you to die and go to hell. You've been set free from that if you're a believer in Christ, right? You've been set free of that. That resurrection, the blessed hope. God, help me not get ahead of myself here. Jesus, amen? Well, good morning. Let's start over. Good morning. Good morning. Amen. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians. I'm going to throw a lot of scripture at you. So if we want to, if we looked up every scripture, we'd be here for 2 hours. So if you want to write down the scriptures and study them later, that'd be awesome. But there's going to be a lot of scripture in this. We're going to talk about resurrection power. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Probably for the next 3 Sundays, we're going to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that for those who place their faith in this good news, that we do have victory in Jesus. Lord, we just pause for a minute and remember all the folks that are on the back of our bulletin. Father, we pray for each one of those. We lift them all up to you. You know their needs. We pray for Mr. Don's brother's son. I just found this out a few minutes ago, but you know his situation. And I just pray that you will help him out. Help out the family there. I pray for Pauline Baptist Church as we move into the summer season. Pray for our volunteers. Lord, as always, let's remember the military. It's around the world. Remember our missionaries. They're spreading the good news of the gospel all over this planet. Father, let's bless them through our Easter offering. Help us surpass our goal. Because we know that there are those called to go where we can't go. Lord, help me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody good? Resurrection power. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 47. So 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 47. It says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. verse 47. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. Everybody said amen? A little side note here. I don't want to get too deep in this little rabbit hole, but if you ever have an opportunity to talk with a Mormon, okay, remember this verse. Remember these three verses. If you feel like it, if you feel courageous enough to have a conversation with them, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you power to do this, this is a great verse to ask them. So if they're sitting on your couch or sitting on the tailgate of your truck or whatever, and they're talking, just say, hey, can you explain a verse to me? And you bring up 1 Corinthians 15:40, more specifically 46. Okay? They cannot answer this. They don't have an answer for it. It's really an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to open up a window to their false doctrine. Okay? It says, 46 says, the spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. Because see, they believe that they were spirit babies in heaven. They were spirit beings in heaven first. And then somehow through this selection process, God sent them in their spirit being down to earth to enter a woman to be born and spend time as an earthling. Okay? And then do all the things that they're supposed to do, and then they're going to return back. So here, the Bible, and they do use the Bible, but more specifically, they use the Book of Mormon. But they do dance around with the King James Version. But see, verse 46 is, the spiritual did not come first. Y'all see that? The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, then the spiritual. In other words, God made Adam, right, first. He didn't have these spirit babies up in heaven. Finish with my side note. Are we okay? All right. So, every tick on our watch, every second on our watch, somewhere on the planet Earth, someone dies. There was a famous philosopher, socialist, really, that had a famous quote. I believe the comedian from Georgia, what was his name, Louis Gazzard? I believe he kind of got credit for saying this, but it really comes from this guy named Albert Hubbard. He said, do not take life too seriously. You will never get out of it alive. Anybody remember that? And that is definitely not true. That is absolutely wrong. Why? And this is what we're going to talk about this morning. Because Christ conquered death. This is the main focus of the Easter season. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's our blessed hope. So why do we call Jesus King? King Jesus. There's a lot of different reasons. But He rose from the grave. He rose from the grave. When Jesus walked out of that grave, He did more than just survive death. He conquered death. We have victory in Him. The first Adam, he was the one that walked with God. Adam was with Eve. He's talking about here the second Adam, the last Adam is Jesus Christ. And the first man with us, in that first man is where we fail as human beings. We fail that sin, that first man. What it's teaching us here is in the second man, we will be redeemed. We are redeemed. Now in the Old Testament, the priests would go out and they'd gather a sheaf. Remember bringing in the sheaves? Bring in a sheaf of first ripened grain. They would take this grain and they would take it in and they would lay it on the altar. And it was a sign for them that God was going to bless them. They were expecting and having faith that God would bless them. It was called the fruit, okay? Feast of the First Fruits. And this is what Jesus is talking about here with us. The Feast of the First Fruits, the resurrection. When Jesus comes again, he and we will be a part of this harvest. 1 Corinthians says this. 1 Corinthians 15, 20, 21. It says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. How do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? How do we really know that? First of all, we choose to believe by faith, right? But there's also some sight involved here. It says, how do we know that Christ is really sovereign over death? How do we really know this? Well, by faith, the Word of God tells us. But in 1 Corinthians 15, 5 and 8, Paul said this. Paul said, Jesus has been seen by Peter, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom were still alive, but some of them have died. In verse 7, he says, then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. There's a lot of evidence here, a lot of facts, a lot of recorded evidence. And then verse 8, Paul says something that I think is kind of interesting. He says, last of all, listen to Paul. This is like unusual for me to hear Paul talk like this. He says, last of all, as though I have been born at the wrong time, he said, I also saw him. To me, that says a lot. Now think about this for a minute. If the apostles were lying about this, lying about the resurrection, you know, what would they benefit from this? If Christ was still in that grave, all this would be for nothing, really. 1 Corinthians 15, 13 through 15. Listen, I'm going to read it. Listen, it says, for if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. I'm going to stop right there. It's really important for us to pay close attention to the resurrection. When we talk about the good news and we talk about the gospel and you're leading somebody to Christ, it's really important that we always talk about and teach the resurrection of Jesus. That really separates us. That completely separates us from all major religions, minor religions of the world. There's some weird stuff out there, but still, this is the good news. Yes, the beatings, the death, the cross, the nails, the blood, all that. It's everything. The burial in the ground, 3 days, conquered death, hell, and the grave. The resurrection. The Bible right here is telling us that without the resurrection, it's just useless. It's meaningless. Now, I'm not making this up. This is right here. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and our faith is useless. You guys see how important the resurrection part is. And you've heard me say this before. So I don't mean to be offensive here. And I know what people mean when they say you need to ask Jesus in your heart. You've heard me say that before. I know what people mean by that. But it's more than just, you know, let's pray and ask Jesus in your heart. Do you believe in Jesus? You know, yeah. Well, the demons and devils believe in Jesus. You know what I mean? It's a lot more. It's a lot deeper. I think we talked about that a couple Sundays ago, so I don't want to go there again. But it's about understanding that I am a sinner. And I'm in desperate need of a Savior. I have no way out of this. I'm in desperate need. And then I place my faith in what Jesus did for me on the cross. Took my place. He took your place. If you're sitting here this morning and you don't think you're a sinner, then you got the wrong mindset. We all are. I'm no better than you. But the good news is that we can place our faith in Christ and what He did on the cross, the death, burial, and the resurrection. Amen? Verse 15, it keeps going. It says, "And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead." Stay with me here. I'm kind of in this teaching mode, so y'all stay with me. Then it goes and it jumps to verse 20 and it says this, "But in fact, Christ has been raised." It uses the word fact, but in fact. And I've got proof to back this up. I mean, the way they described it earlier, they described it as like Fox News was there with their satellite and their trucks, and they're recording all this. And we have 500 people. And written this scripture really didn't get into the part where the graves opened up and all this stuff and all these things. This is a fact that Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of a great harvest. Ask you a question. So, this is the way the world thinks. This is the way the world thinks, you know. You believe that the apostles were these con artists? They were running this game and scam? It's just a weird thing. I love what Charles Spurgeon said about this. Charles Spurgeon says, and listen to this closely now, Charles Spurgeon said, "Martyrs and hypocrites are not made of the same cloth. They're not made of the same stuff." He goes on to say, "Men may live for a lie, but very few will knowingly die for a lie." That's strong now. The Bible talks about, we're talking about resurrection, the Bible's talking about the rapture too. So I'm not going to preach a whole message about the rapture. But we're going to read the scripture real quick here, okay? 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 53. And by the way, it mentions the rapture as a mystery. Everybody say mystery. Real slow and real loud. Mystery. You get it? 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 53. Here we go. "But let me reveal to you a wonderful mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed." Not all of us, right? But we all will be transformed. "It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed," must be transformed, "into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies." And we all, most of you have been in church probably longer than I've been doing this preaching ministry. Some of you maybe been going to church longer than I've been saved. I don't know. And you've heard talk about the rapture and this and that. Right? I believe we're really close though. I really, really do. When it talks about mysteries, these mysteries are like a divine revelation. We talked about a couple of weeks ago when the Holy Spirit gives you revelation. The Holy Spirit opens up truth to you and shows you things. That's why the world can say, "I read the Bible, I don't really understand it. It seems very confusing." You see, human wisdom and scientific investigation will never show it to you. Now, I think it's pretty cool sometimes when science kind of proves something in the Bible. Most of us enjoy, you know, a little history lesson like that. But the Bible does not need science to validate it. Do y'all agree with that? The Word of God is the Word of God. So, this sacred mystery, in talking about the rapture, this sacred mystery is that one day, millions of people are going to be transported from this earth to heaven. Now, the world thinks that's crazy and weird. They don't understand it. The Holy Spirit has not revealed this to them like it has us, and we place our faith in this. Guys, when this happens, the world is so deceptive. The media has become so deceptive. Masters at lying. When we get called out of here as Christians, when Jesus cracks the clouds and that old trumpet sound goes, and millions and millions of people will be just vanished from the earth, the world, the devil, the Antichrist will have an answer for the world, and they'll go, oh, okay, that makes sense. Seriously. They will come up with the craziest lie, and the world will be so gullible they'll believe it for a while. Now, I'm sure there's some folks who were raised in church, never got saved, will go, uh-oh. They'll know. They were presented with the good news, and they were presented with the gospel, and they'll know. But the majority of the world will be, they'll be just completely blind to it. The living saints, us, the living saints will be changed. And the dead saints will be raised from the grave with resurrected bodies. Now I'm going to say this, if you're taking notes, listen to this. Okay? Three parts. There's three little small parts of this, and I want you to get this. When Adam sinned against God, he died three ways. Okay? When Adam sinned against God, listen to the words, okay? He died immediately in his spirit, progressively in his soul, and ultimately in his body. Y'all feel me? You see that? You can see that in your mind's eye, you know? When Adam sinned against God, immediately his spirit died. Boom! His soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, how you think, how you feel, what you do, right? It progressively died. And then ultimately his body died, heart stopped, the flesh turned back to dust in the ground. Now, when we get saved, we place ourselves in God's grace. We believe in Jesus Christ, the death, burial, resurrection. When we get saved and born again, it happens the reverse. So listen to the reverse now. When we get saved, we are justified immediately in our spirit. Our spirit is saved immediately, filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed. We're sanctified, okay, we're justified, then we're sanctified progressively in our soul. In other words, if we keep praying, if we keep reading the Bible, our soul progressively kind of gets better and better. It's never perfect, but we grow in the Lord, we mature, we start thinking differently, we start thinking a little bit more healthy, we start understanding God's grace and His mercy, you know, we start acting a little different, and you know, we stop going here and we stop doing that. We start feeling better emotionally, right? You'll see that? And then, ultimately, our body will be glorified. Ultimately. It's kind of like this. You've heard me say this before too. My spirit is saved. My soul is being saved. And my body will one day be saved. Everybody got it? But see, my body, this is not the real me. This is just my earth suit. If I didn't have this earth suit, I'd be real me. My spirit would be flying around here. You know, this earth suit right here, just bones and muscle and ligaments and gizzards and guts. That's not the real me. That's not the real you. You are a spirit. If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are saved and born again, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a citizen of heaven. Hopefully, you're doing what you need to do to mature in Christ so your soul begins to get better and better and better. And one day your body will be better. This is revelational knowledge. The whole creation process is supernatural. Listen to this. I know it's time, but I'm not going to worry about it right now. It's okay? I feel like God wants us to hear this. God made everything out of nothing. I'm going to pause on that one. Do you think that he can't raise you out of something? When we die and go into that grave and dust, if the rapture doesn't happen, God made everything out of nothing. That's called creation. Man, we can't do that. The smartest men in the world, the smartest scientists in the world, they cannot create. They can only make. God is the only one that can create, because that original word creation means to actually make something out of nothing. So the only thing we can do is just add to. That's why Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. You can't tell me one thing right now that's not already been thought up. Anything. So God created everything out of absolutely nothing. And he is going to bring us out of the grave when that time comes. Paul said to King Agrippa in the book of Acts, he was a little like, oh man, how can people be raised from the grave? And Paul was basically telling him, look, you shouldn't be surprised. We're talking about God Almighty, the creator of everything. In 1 Corinthians, I'll read it to you real quick. He says, but someone may ask, this is 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 38, but someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? This is scripture now. What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it first, what? Dies. What you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you planted. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. The seed goes in the ground, it rots, comes back up, a glorious creation. So we're talking about a rapture. So maybe you might have, okay, when's the last days? Johnson summed up when the last days is. He said it was actually right after Pentecost. In 1 John 2:18, it says, little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, but which we know that it is the last hour. So once the Holy Spirit, Jesus was taken up, and the Holy Spirit came down, that was the beginning of the last days, the last hours. The second coming of Jesus is always pending. It's right there. And I'm almost finished. I'll tell you a story. Yesterday, I got a chance to go to work. They called me in, said, would you come work at the main hospital? I work at a mental health hospital in Moultrie. Three counselors called in. I guess they were scared of the tornadoes. So I jump on my horse and right over there. And I get there, and there was like, well, four counselors is called in now. So, you know. Can you do it, Dallas? Sure, no problem. I can do it. Ta-ta-da-da, right? So, make a long story short, there was 68, because I had to call roll. It was 68 patients in a room, all men, hard-nosed men. I mean, you know, 90% of them didn't know anything about Jesus. Trust me, I mean, it's a different world at Penfield. So I'm sitting here, and they say, you got to do the three classes in the morning and the one at 1 o'clock. I can't do group therapy with 68 men. So I end up basically preaching three different messages. Like 45 minutes, take a break. Come back, 45 minutes, take a break. Come for them. So the lunchtime come, I had this stupid salad that only cost me $3, right? And a boiled egg looked like an old man's head. It was terrible. So I just ate half of it, and I was tired, and I do all the documentation. And 1 o'clock class comes, and I'm like, this is stupid. I'm not doing it. So they're back in there in the cafeteria, right? This is how it went down now, right? 68 men. And I was like, look, guys, I'm just tired physically. Can we have just a Q&A session? Question and answer. You ask me questions, and I'll, you know, I do that sometimes. It'll pull it out of me, you know, the whole experience. Yeah, they ask a question. It was 1 o'clock. About 1:15, some little guy in the back stands up. He says, how important is giving your life to God in recovery? Oh, Jesus. So I pause a minute, and I'm like, I really need my job right now. But I just started telling them. I just started telling them about Jesus, and Easter's coming. I use that kind of little segue. Easter's coming, and you know what was interesting is when I started talking like that freely, they started like listening, you know. I could see a few going, you know, they got the devil on. So I'll go on, and about 5 or 6 minutes goes on, right? And I'm talking about Jesus and Jesus coming, and I knew this sermon was all deep in my heart, right? Because I'm already like primed for this message about the resurrection power and rapture and all that, you know. This is how it went down. So I'm talking about, you know, it's Easter and Jesus is coming soon, you know, that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, this huge sound like lightning just goes kaboom, and the lights went out. And immediately, like, the emergency lights came on, you know, and then the little beeping thing, you know, and as soon as that happened, I looked down and I said, Jesus is coming, get right with God. And they all just dispersed, but they went back, they ran out the door, and by that time the nurses were coming in, everybody get out, tornado, and it was hilarious. They all went back to the rooms, went to the little safety things, and it was just great, man. The timing was just perfect. And it was funny. I don't know why I told that story, but I thought it was good. So I'm riding home, right? They all told us to go. Yeah, I'm going home. So at 1:30, great. I'm riding home, coming through. I was telling Frankie, and I really, really think I saw a tornado. I videoed it. And I was going real slow over there by y'all's house, you know. I was pulling over the road going, okay, I can get in that ditch. And I can get in that ditch, you know, tornado. And I started thinking about what happened, you know, with the lights. And it was a coincidence, but maybe not, right? You never know. God works in these ways, you know, to get people's attention. And so it was funny. What does the resurrection of Jesus mean to us? Okay? I'm going to read this scripture to you, and then we'll get ready to close. 1 Corinthians says this. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the victory that we're talking about. Jesus conquered death, destroyed the enemy. He took the strength out of sin. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. If you've asked God to forgive you, He has washed that sin away. As far as the east is the west, into the sea of forgetfulness. God has forgot. He has the ability to forget the things that we did. Amen. When I die, I can only talk for me. When I die, if the Lord doesn't come in a rapture, when I die, I am going to heaven. I can say that with assurance, conviction. I truly, truly believe that. I used to not believe that. Because I used to believe it was about me and what I did or I didn't do. But now I know it's all about what Christ did and what He did for me during this Easter season. That's what this season's all about. We, if you're a believer in Christ, if you're part of this family, we will live forever. Jesus assured us of that. He conquered that grave. Amen? And here's a special one. I got this from Lynn around Tuesday. I was thinking about what I was going to preach. And, you know, I was talking with Lynn about her mom, and I don't mean to bring that up, but, you know, there's victory in that. Lynn, my wife, her mother passed away a month ago or whatever. And this week, there was a TV show we were watching, and this daughter comes into the hospital room where her mother was passing, you know, dying. And she was saying goodbye, and I'm like, oh, God. You know, and so I looked at Lynn, I said, you okay, you know? And she just had the most peace on her face, and she said, yeah, I'm fine. I know where Mama is, and I'm going to see her again. Guys, the world don't have that. The world does not have that kind of peace, that kind of assurance that you're going to see your family again. You're going to see your grandparents again. Your children, are you? You'll see them. Well, I don't know. I don't know if he or she was saved. God's got that all worked out. Amen? He's got that all worked out. He knows. Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know Him? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? If the rapture happens tonight, will you be with us? Or will you be in here trying to get in the door and get to the altar and ask God to save you? It may be too late then. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think anybody really knows. But I do know that Jesus died on the cross for me. And for you. So if everybody will close your eyes and bow your head. If you'd like to come down to this altar and give your life to Christ, make it sure. Make it for sure. I'd love to pray with you. One of the deacons here would love to pray with you at this altar, and we can make sure today that you're going to heaven. If you'd like to just give your life to Christ right now in your seat, that's okay too. If you would, if you could pray this with me, believe in your heart, just say these words and say, God, the best way I know how, I give you my life. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I repent of my sins. Save me, Jesus. From this day forward, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.